Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the CCMP podcast. As always, I am your host, Carlson. In this week's episode, we look at year 8 of the symposium, which took place in 2002. But let's head on to the men's room for the news. All right, this story comes from the Huffington Post Weird News. There's a gentleman in Russia. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. It's P-U-G-A-C-H. He is claiming that the facial hairstyle called a goatee is actually his design, and that if anyone wearing it, he wants to charge $600 for anyone who is a non-Russian to wear this style of facial hair. Now, if it says in the article in certain spots that he wants to have $600 for regular people to wear this style of facial hair, and $30,000 if you're famous. So you might want to check out this, which means that half of the guys in the symposium probably owe this guy some money. So that is the news from the men's room this week. And now for the year that was 2002. Alrighty, the year is 2002. The Super Bowl was won by the New England Patriots. The World Series that year was won by the Angels. And the NBA championship was won by the Lakers. In NCAA football, the Ohio State won the national championship. Just a side note, Andre Johnson, wide receiver, played for the University of Miami. And Maurice Claret played running back for Ohio State. In basketball, Maryland won. Also, in that year, Nebraska played Ole Miss in the Independence Bowl and lost 23-27. Eli Manning was the quarterback of that team. The kicker for Nebraska was Josh Brown, and kind of the reason that I bring that up is because during our CCMP football draft, Tricky got upset because I believe somebody drafted Josh Brown over him just because Tricky was working for Nebraska at that time. So, and in movies in 2002, Star Wars Episode II came out, Attack of the Clones, Men in Black 2, and Lord of the Rings 2, The Two Towers. On television, the Osbournes premiered, CSI Miami, and The Wire. And that was the year 2002. Alright, before I jump into year 8, I want to go back to year 7 real quick. Mark Schlein's brother in-law joined us that year, Kurt. Sorry I missed you on that one. So we're going to jump right into year 8 now. At the Camelot Campgrounds, we have left the Legion Hall. The reason for leaving the Legion Hall was because of air conditioning. This is why we left. Now, we looked this up and we found online this nice little campground, Camelot Campgrounds. And they had some nice pictures of some cabins, and they looked kind of large and they looked like they were in pretty good shape. The cabins were nice. They weren't that bad, but they were very small. The amount of room that we had in them was not any more room than we had the very first year. And the difference is that we had about, 20 guys, 22 guys, 25 guys, as opposed to 15 guys. So it wasn't quite as good as it wasn't quite as nice as what it could have been. With that said, the cabins weren't really that bad. It was just, and they had air conditioning, which was, like I said, the big reason that we chose them, because it was hot. It's always hot when we had the symposium. Now, the Legion Hall was not as bad as the first year, despite it being hot. At least there was airflow and we had fans and stuff going that first year, so it wasn't quite as bad. Now, as we do this, we have Tricky returning. Tricky has returned and decided to come back, or Rat Bitch. And the only reason I'm referring to him as Rat Bitch at this point is because he had just come back from the previous year where we gave him the moniker Rat Bitch. Anyways, on top of that, where we said the reason for Tricky not coming was because he was growing up and he was showing some responsibility for his job, despite the fact that his boss told him he was supposed to come anyway. So like I said, Tricky has decided to grow up. And by grow up, I mean he is about to get married. So of course, that means bachelor party, which, of course, means we go to Daisy Duke's. Now, I believe Dwayne brought a little toy that he got from one of his stripper people, because he was still working for the strippers at this time, or else he just went to a sex shop and bought this nice little cat of nine tails that he decided to bring with him. Anyways, we brought that, and I somehow, well, we went to Duke's, and again, Duke's is very nice, and I know the guys spent a lot of money and whatnot. Now, somehow, for some reason, I ended up getting on stage. And I don't think Tricky got on stage, but I got on stage. I think Tricky might have gotten on stage, but after the last incident where he was turning 21 and got on stage, I think they just decided to go ahead and put me on stage and not deal with putting him on stage. Anyways, they put me on stage along with either, now both the women that I was on stage with were either in cowboy uniform, cowboy Dallas, cowboy cheerleader uniforms, or at least one of them was. I know at least one of them was. So with that, that is what happened with that. So I got on stage and apparently they got blind. Now, I was not really happy with this. So, not that I wasn't unhappy, but or not that I was happy, but not that I was unhappy. It didn't really bother me. I just kind of played off being angry. Now, like I had previously said, I had quit smoking prior to this. So I came off stage and immediately needed a freaking smoke, which I smoked a cigar, not a cigarette. But I didn't smoke anything else that weekend. Anyways, well, that was kind of the little trip for Daisy Dukes that time. Again, I believe there was some women amateurs that could come in to see the show, and they gave everybody a show. So that's with the strippers. All right, now back to the campgrounds. Like I said, these cabins were very small, and we split into, I believe we had three cabins. One was strictly for sleeping. We had one that was a smoker's cabin and one that was not. I think two of them were not a smoker and one of them was a smoker's. But we split it up so that cards were played in two cabins and one cabin was just strictly for sleeping. Now, the other nice thing about this is that we did have showers at this campground, which was very nice to have. Now, on top of that, we did both paintball and golf this year. Now, golf was very interesting because we decided to go play golf on a different course. We didn't go to Windmill this year, which means we didn't get the nice little lunch or anything, but because we went to a very nice course. And by nice course, I mean we went to a PGA Tour course. If anybody knows this course, it is the John Deere course over by Moline. This is a PGA Tour course. In other words, they do play PGA Tour events at this course. We had absolutely, and I repeat, absolutely no business being on this course. We didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, I think we were being followed by some of the people just to make sure that we were following the rules. But with that, we were actually pretty good, but we didn't belong in this course. Even Ed Kuligowski and Mark Schlein probably didn't belong on this course. I don't remember anything majorly happening on this course. I mean, it was a very nice course. It's just that this was way too good of a course for any of us to be playing on. Even Mark Schlein, like I said, and Ed Kuligowski, who played golf pretty well, probably didn't belong on this course. I'm not saying they played bad, but we just didn't belong on this course. It's not the type of course that it's a very good course and very nice course. And the way we play golf and what we like to do, it's not conducive to what this course was. So with that, we played golf, our normal golf time. So after that, we finished up and we headed back to the campground. I believe we got showered up, and then I believe we went to Daisy Duke's. So we actually played golf before we went to Daisy Duke's that night with it. We were also close to the 4th of July, so I don't know if anybody brought any fireworks, but they might have. So I'm not sure. I do know that I know there was no potato gun, and the usual suspects were all there. As a matter of fact, I don't know if anybody missed this year. Everybody seemed to be around. All right, so that was our golf incident. And, well, with that, we are going to head back to the thing after Duke's that evening. And I believe that we played some cards. But I think there was a lot of sleeping that went on that evening. Anyways, with that, the next morning we get up and we go to play paintball. Now, I can't remember for sure if this was the year that some of this took place or if it was the following year that it took place or one of the other years. But I do know that this story did take place. We had we were playing the paintball, and I distinctly remember watching, it was like, I think a 3-on-3 that we were playing this year. And I know, I'm not positive if this was the year of the bang incident or if it was the previous year or even one of the previous years to that. The bang is a thing in which you, let me, how can I put this? When you play paintball, when you are within a certain distance of someone, you are not supposed to shoot them. You are supposed to say bang, of which they have to acknowledge the fact that they are dead. Now, technically, if you say bang and they turn around and shoot you, you're more than free to open fire on them. Now, I believe that Ed Kuligowski was in a situation in which somebody said bang or didn't say bang and just shot him from a very close distance. I also seem to remember in this particular case that there was a incident in which there was, this was a 3-on-3, and I'm sitting outside the fence watching this. And I know some of the guys wore like baseball cleats, or not cleats, softball cleats, or spikes to try to, and I don't know if they were on a cement slab surface or something. I could be wrong. I'm not positive I'm remembering this right. But I do know that it was one person was crouched down behind the thing. And I believe it was Rich that was crouched down. And somebody came up and caught around behind him and said bang. Now, as he said bang, the other guy spun to try to turn up to get him. And as he turned around and spun, he fired the gun. Now, I remember this seeing this in slow motion, and I know it happened a lot faster than I remember seeing it. But as he spun around and fired, the guy that he fired at was, it would have gone right into his face mask. Now, as he fired, he spun and it like zoomed right past his face. It was actually pretty cool looking. I know my description is not near as good as the description of what it actually looked like. I don't believe there was anything else special about this year's paintball. I want to say that this was also the year that we, like I said, we were doing the 3-on-3 group or 2-on-2. We were doing small groups, kind of speed round type stuff. Now, I believe what we did is we started with guys in opposite corners of each other. And the way that I remember this is I was with somebody. I don't remember who my partner was at this time. I was going against Aaron and somebody else, and I'm not sure who his partner was. I do know that, I'm going to try to draw a picture or tell you how this looked as best I can. Imagine like a large backyard. It was almost circular backyard. And there's an outside path, dirt paths on the outside. There's trees, very tall grass in the center, and a pole up in the middle. But and then there's like an X path through the center of this. There's at least one straight path through the center. I don't know if it X's path or not. But then there's like a circle path around the outside. So we have two groups, and what we decide that we're going to split and go one way. My partner's going one way. I'm going to kind of go the other way. And I kind of dive down into this tall grass so you can't really see me. Now, I don't know whether one of the guys came up and kind of went by and didn't see me. And I think I ended up getting him. Now, at this time, Aaron's the only one left. Now, behind me, where we were at, my partner is pinned down by Aaron. He can back up, but he can't really move because Aaron's kind of got him. I slowly sneak up behind Aaron. Now, I really wanted to do this, but I thought better of it, was to slowly get up on Aaron, touch him with my gun, and go bang. Now, I thought better of it, and I got real close and went bang from a good distance just to make sure that I wasn't in danger of getting shot from extremely close. All I know is that they said, "How the hell did you get up on me that quiet?" You know, so there's other points where I know that Dwin has played, and it's kind of like Dwin goes just walking, and people are firing guns at him, and nobody was hitting him, and it's like, how do you miss a target that big? Anyways, that's kind of my story for paintball that year. Now, those stories may have been a different year of paintball, but I'm putting them in this year, so if you remember it different, then that's your problem, not mine. I'm going to say that, but it doesn't really matter. I'm hoping that this was that year that this took place. We played paintball for several years, and I know they run into each other. So that's kind of my paintball story for this year. Anyways, so we end up going back after this, and I believe we, you know, like I said, it was nice because there were showers at this place to do this. So it was at the campgrounds. So it was kind of nice that we'd get showers, and we were quite comfortable actually that way. And the cabins had air conditioning. Now, like I said, we were split into two to three cabins. Two of the cabins were strictly for playing cards. The third cabin was strictly for sleeping. Now, some of the other cabin, the other two cabins did end up getting used for some sleep early on, and then later they had like a futon in it that we could pull out. Not very often did it get pulled out, but we kind of used them, so it was kind of nice. Plus, I believe some guys slept in their vehicles. So, anyways, well, we played cards. Now, the biggest issue of this whole year was the fact that, like I said, we were split into several of the cabins. We had, like I said, one cabin for smoking. I know I keep repeating myself and that I'm probably going to get ripped on it for, but that's life. One cabin was completely smokers and the other cabin was not, where we played cards. Now, as we did this, a couple of guys, I think Aaron tried to make it back and forth between both sets of cabins. Some guys, I don't believe I played with Mark Schlein or Kurt the entire weekend, or Adam. There was several people that I probably didn't play with at all, simply because of the split and I was not going into the smoker's cabin. So I know that. Now, like I said, I couldn't tell you what was going on in the other cabin as far as some of those games, but I know what was kind of going on in my cabin. Now, I was playing very well again this year, to the point where I believe I took second again. Now, I may not have taken second that year, the previous year, but I know I placed in the money. So again, my deal with the devil has been that... So my deal with the devil apparently looks to be that, yes, I learned how to play cards, and yes, I'm going to win money, but I would not be allowed the actual winning of the tournament. That is the curse of the devil. You know what I mean? You make the deal with the devil, so you get kind of what you want, but you don't actually get what you want. And my deal with the devil would not allow me to actually win the tournament. It would only allow me to take second at best. So... That was kind of the joke that I made on that. Now, on top of that, like I said, I don't know what was going on in the other cabin, and I don't know how well Kurt was playing. And at this time, we weren't kind of keeping track of a lot of that, so I didn't know where I was at. I mean, I kind of knew, but not officially for the most part, because I don't think we were keeping it together on the computer and stuff at this point. Now, the following year, maybe when we started doing that. Now, anyways... With that, we go on to, I'm going to talk about, the only game that I can really, really remember playing in that year was like one of the last games of the weekend, and it was a 727 game, and it was a fairly large pot, and everybody that in my cabin was kind of out of it at this point. There might have been somebody in the money, but not a lot of people that were actually... still kind of playing for it. Now, I might have known that I was, like, close or in the money, so I was playing fairly normal. Most of the guys in my cabin, I believe, weren't. Not that they were playing bad on purpose, but they weren't really caring on whether they lost or not, because they weren't, it wasn't going to make a difference for them. Anyways, with that, now I know I was playing 727, and it got to a point where I believe I had a five down, and I had an ace up, or else I had a five up and an ace down. So it went around a couple times, and there was somebody who took a card, and finally it was my choice, and I took a card, and I pulled another ace. So I had two aces and a five, which gives me 7 and 27, which means I can automatically win the entire thing. Now, I know that I was betting, and it was like I had people taking cards that probably still weren't supposed to be taking cards at this time, and they were just keep throwing money at it. And it got to a point where it was kind of like, seriously, it's just us. Why are we still doing it? And he goes, I don't care. I'm not in it anymore. I'm just going to keep throwing money at it. I was like, that's fine. You know, and finally, I just like, come on, we need to stop this. You need to do this. And he's like, okay. So I called both, and I actually won both. That's pretty much about the only thing I know about that week's card or that year's cards that I know of. Like I said, it was kind of a, it was nice. I liked it, but I didn't like it because of the split cabins. So there wasn't any real great stories from this year. It was a nice year. Like I said, playing on the golf course and playing. Oh, by the way, like I said, I believe I took second that year. The winner of that year's tournament was, of course, Kurt. See, so you not only get your shout out at the beginning, I also give you the credit for the fact that you won the tournament that year. Now, just a little side note, and this is just for me, and it doesn't really matter. For some reason, there was some kind of a pissing match between, or at least Ed apparently thought there was a pissing match between me and him that year. Not Dwayne, Ed Kuligowski, because he decided he was going to give me shit for the entire weekend. So, whatever that was all about, I don't know. Don't really care. Anyways, with that, that, I guess, will bring year 8 to a close, and I'm not going to have near as much as what I had last week, but that is year 8. So, that's going to bring the symposium to a close. Now, I know there was a ride home, and it wasn't much. Like I said, I usually have a tendency to not sleep once that regular tournament starts. So I don't remember a lot of the ride home because I tend to fall asleep on the ride home. But anyways, it was another great year for the symposium, and it was year 8. So with that, I'm going to go to the CCMP Research Department. Subject is Beer 101. And let's see, symptoms. Symptom number one is feet cold and wet. Fault, glass being held in an incorrect angle. Action, rotate glass so that the open end points towards the ceiling. Symptom 2, warm feet. Feet warm and wet. Improper bladder control. Action, stand next to the nearest dog. Complain about house training. So, let's see here. Symptom 3, beer usually pale and tasteless. Empty glass. Action, get someone to buy another beer. Symptom 4, opposite wall covered with fluorescent lights. Fault, you have fallen you've fallen over backwards. Action, have yourself leashed to the bar. Symptom number 5, mouth contains cigarette butts. You have fallen forward. Action, see above. Symptom number 6, beer tasteless. Front of your shirt is wet. Fault, mouth not open, or glass appeal applied to wrong part of face. Action, retire to restroom, practice in mirror. Symptom number 7, floor blurred. You are looking through the bottom of the empty glass. See action, see number 3. Symptom number 8, floor moving. Fault, you are being carried out. Action, find out if you are being taken to another bar. Symptom number 9 is room seems unusually dark. Fault, bar has closed. Action, confirm home address with bartender. Symptom number 10, taxi suddenly takes a colorful aspect. Beer consumption has exceeded personal limitations. Action, cover mouth. Symptom number 11, everyone looks up to you and smiles. Fault, you are dancing on a table. Action, fall on someone cushy looking. Symptom number 12, beer is crystal clear. Fault, it's water. Somebody is trying to sober you up. Action, punch him and kick him in the dick. Symptom number 3, hands hurt, nose hurt. Mind usually clear. Fault, you have been in a fight. Action, apologize. Everyone see just in case it was them. Sorry. Symptom 4, don't recognize anyone, don't recognize room, you're in. Fault, you've wandered into the wrong party. Action, see if you have free beer. See if they have free beer. Symptom number 15, your singing sounds distorted. Fault, the beer is too weak. Action, have more beer until your voice improves. Symptom 17, don't remember the words to the song. Fault, beer is just right. Action, play air guitar like you're Eddie Van Halen. That was all of those. I don't think I have anything else, so we might just end it there. I can give you a few CCMP quote machines. All-time great symposium lines. Whores on the porch. Put it in her ass. Holy shit, a screen door. No way that's going to make it through the symposium in one piece. I own you, bitch. Why is Adam always picking on me? That would be RJ's. Hola, this Señor Schmecko. Beer is God's way of showing us that he loves us and wants us to be happy, by Benjamin Franklin. And by Ernest Hemingway, an intelligent man is sometimes forced to be drunk to spend time with his fools. A good friend will bail you out of jail, but a true friend will be next to you saying, damn, we fucked up. And that's all symposium attendees. Well, with that, I believe I'm going to bring this symposium to a close. And the next one will be year 9, 2003. And my plan is to get that up as soon as I possibly can and then probably try to hit number 10 immediately thereafter. So with that, I'm going to bring this to an end, and I have to say goodbye. With plain and simple, if you're a man, you'll understand.